There's a better class of sports radio, and we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Wednesday to you. John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee. The gang's all here. Football getting closer. Tennessee set to take the podium. You already have Jeremy Pruitt coming through with some updates. We'll get to those. You know, nothing makes me feel more optimistic, at least about our season, in terms of this show, this station, their season, then the difference, just an excitement this morning. You know, imagine the last couple of years of people actually wanting to hear a coach's press conference. But around 9:30, I was asked, hey, are you guys going to carry Jeremy Pruitt's presser? And I kind of laughed it off. It's like, that's not really our thing. Should we? But then a lot of people's like, yes, please. Can you please carry it? We want to support you. We want to support the station. We don't want to have to change the channel, but we want to hear what Jeremy Pruitt's saying. So, you know, I feel like we should maybe carry his presser because maybe he will say something interesting, and it will be the first real test on how he's going to be in front of the media. Now, I mean, I know he's done local spots. He's doing a local spot now or just finished it up. But he'll be on TV. He'll be in front of the country. He'll be in front of the South. I'm okay with seeing how he handles that. Is that okay with you, Cody McClure?
That's perfect with me.
You can't leave. You can't leave like yesterday because it might hit a point where it's just really boring. We're like, okay, there's no reason to listen to this.
I kind of want to see it myself, so I'm good with carrying it because I want to hear what he has to say as well. Otherwise, I was gonna have to go watch it on a replay. So I'm good with this.
Ben Lee is working tirelessly over there to get it set up to get ready to go at 10:20. We should be able to stream it. We anticipate it running very smoothly. That's at 10:20. Cody, do you have a story of the day? Is it football or is it the trade for Kawhi? Because I wish any other day this Kawhi trade would have happened because it's fascinating to me, but it's hard to talk about it right in front of Jeremy Pruitt and his presser, so I think we should probably move that talk to hour two.
Well, so what do you want the story of the day to be?
I mean, I just feel like the story of the day in the sports world is Kawhi Leonard getting traded, but I do feel like here there is something pretty important going on in Knoxville that probably, definitely eclipses the Kawhi trade in many people's minds.
Football. You mean that Jeremy Pruitt is taking the stage this morning?
Yeah, and that, you know, it feels like some rivalries are back on. It did feel like Florida was taking some shots yesterday. I mean, Dan Mullen had that little snarky comment. What was it? He was asked about the Tennessee-Florida rivalry, and he said something like, oh, you know, I've been out of it for the last 9 years.
Haven't even been paying attention. What is the streak at now?
Yeah. Go to hell, Dan Mullen. Streak's at one.
Streak is at one.
But I thought that was a pretty creative dig.
Yeah. You had that. You had the University of Florida account last night chiming in on something.
Yeah.
You had Aaron Murray and Hudson Mason yesterday, of all people.
Who?
Hudson Mason.
Who is that?
A former Georgia quarterback. He was a backup. He was trash.
What'd he say?
He said something about Jeremy Pruitt. He took a shot. You didn't hear about Hudson Mason's comment?
I did not. I saw Aaron Murray's, and then I saw Jeremy Pruitt respond to Aaron Murray today. But Hudson Mason, no, never saw anything with him, excuse me.
Yeah, well, he had some comments yesterday, too. Yeah, Aaron Murray, basically what Aaron Murray said was that Jeremy Pruitt, he didn't think he was the guy, the CEO type, right, to be able to run anything besides a defense.
I mean, is that fair to question?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's never been a head coach, but it's still kind of a shot, right?
Yeah.
He's still taking a shot.
I mean, I feel like it's a fair concern. What, was there more to Aaron Murray's comments? Because Pruitt clapped back in, you know, in his clapback was talking about how he knows how to treat people. Did Aaron Murray say anything about Pruitt not knowing how to treat people? He questioned, like, Pruitt's ability to work with the president, to work with Philip Fulmer, to handle the boosters, to manage egos on both sides of the ball? Or was it just like, hey, you know, being a CEO is different than being a worker?
Well, Aaron Murray, his the main takeaway from his quote, he just said, I don't think he's the right guy to be a Tennessee's head coach. I think the reason that that threw a lot of people off is because a lot of us are admitting, I don't know. Maybe he's the guy, maybe he's not, but there's a mystery factor because he's never been a head coach. But Aaron Murray, on the other hand, just came out and said, yeah, I don't think he's the guy.
Now, would Aaron Murray have been at Georgia the same time Pruitt was? Would their careers would have overlapped, right?
I think Aaron Murray was gone. 2013 was his last year, right?
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, Aaron Murray's last year was 2013, yes.
Because when they came up here and beat us in that game,
mm-hmm.
Murray led that drive down the field.
Yeah.
That was his senior year,
yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. So Jeremy Pruitt would have been at Georgia after that, right? Wasn't he there like 2014, 15? Yeah. So Pruitt would have been coming in around the time Murray was leaving.
Okay. I mean, I think it's fair to question. It is odd that, you know, someone makes the statement that a guy's not the right fit before coaching a game.
I think it's the wording, you know. But if Aaron Murray had said, I don't know if he's the right guy, it would be different, I think, because a lot of us admit that we don't know.
Yeah.
But Murray just said he doesn't think so. Here's what he said. I don't know if his personality is fit to be a head coach. I don't, he said confidently. As a head coach, there's so many things that go into it. It's not just going out there and coaching. You have to deal with the front office, talk with the president of the university, boosters, the offense, the defense. It's not just going in there and dealing with the kids and scheming up. There's a lot that goes into it. Fair to question those things. But then he says, I don't think he's the right guy to be the CEO of a corporation. He's really good just managing a defense and being a coordinator. He needs to prove to me that he can handle the whole ship. For right now, I don't think he can.
Apparently, he also questioned Jeremy Pruitt's relationship and how he treated Mark Richt. Said that he treated Mark Richt poor and wasn't as respectful as a defensive coordinator should be to a head coach.
Yeah.
That's where the Pruitt clapback comes of, you know, 15 years ago I was a kindergarten teacher, now I'm the head coach of Tennessee. You don't climb that mountain. You don't ascend to that spot without knowing how to treat people.
Aaron Murray added to that, when dealing with the AD, when dealing with the president, with a booster who is given millions, you can't go tell them to screw off. You have to take the meeting. You have to sit down with them. I know you want to be game planning and getting ready for the game, but you're a head coach now. You have to do these other things. So Jeremy Pruitt, I guess, has a little bit of a reputation when it comes to just kind of doing his own thing, which personally I admire.
Well, now Jeremy Pruitt's the boss, so now he gets to do whatever he wants.
Right.
Like, he doesn't know how he doesn't have to be respectful to a head coach at Tennessee. He is the head coach.
And with an athletic director, he's not going to tell Philip Fulmer to screw off.
I wouldn't think so.
So with the president, I mean, what Aaron Murray said, the booster, well, okay, biggest booster's Haslam. If he tells Haslam to screw off, fine.
We'll see. Like, I would imagine that Fulmer is going to be in charge of dealing with most of those guys.
Yeah, well, like, and maybe that's part of the deal.
Yeah, Fulmer might be the liaison between Pruitt and the money. We'll see. I don't have a problem with what Murray said. If Murray feels that way, he's entitled to his opinion. I like that Pruitt kind of took up for himself. It was a good start to his media availability. Maybe he is going to say some interesting things. Maybe he will come out of this with more of a brash confidence. Maybe it is going to be us against the world when it comes to, you know, how Jeremy Pruitt feels about Tennessee.
It does kind of sound like Aaron Murray's just whining about this in a way, though.
Well, if Aaron Murray feels like Pruitt disrespected Mark Richt, then...
When he was at Georgia, the way he acted, the way he treated Coach Richt, I thought was poor. I mean, I'd like to know more about that.
Yeah, I mean, I would too, but look, I mean, Murray can say whatever he wants.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course he can.
Is Murray in media at this point, or is he just randomly doing interviews?
Isn't he doing some analyst stuff or something?
I don't know.
Yeah, he's an analyst with the CBS Sports
Network. Okay, so he is in media.
Yeah.
NFL quarterback Aaron Murray.
He's going to have an opinion, you know.
Yeah. I have no problem with it. If he feels like they treated his guy wrong and Mark Richt's his guy, say whatever you want.
Yeah, and that's probably a lot of it. You know, he's a Mark Richt guy.
Yeah.
And I can understand where Mark Richt, being the good Christian man he is, if somebody's a little rough with him or a little frank with him, or they don't, you know, get on their knees and bow down to Mark Richt, maybe you look at it a little differently. I don't know.
Between that, Greg McElroy going on saying Florida's far superior to Tennessee, they should easily handle this game in Knoxville. You had the dust-up last night, Tennessee-Florida, mixing it up on the internet, centered around Walmart and Dan Mullen's awful tennis shoes. Juice is flowing a little bit. Pruitt says J.J. Peterson will absolutely be on the team in August. Confident that he will be able to pass this last math class and become eligible. So that's good. Trey Smith officially cleared. Pruitt says he will be on the field come fall camp. You know, I told everyone who would, you know, listen, and we had conversations, and, you know, I felt like Trey Smith, once Tennessee was allowing him to be in the facilities to work out, I felt like that was a pretty good indication that he was going to be on the field, because Tennessee's not going to open themselves up for any type of big lawsuit with someone who's dealing with a medical issue that is known about working out on team equipment during team sessions. I thought, to me, that was the biggest indication that Trey Smith was going to be cleared, was that he was already working out with the team. You don't risk something happening if he's still, you know, questionable. So Tennessee, you know, is going to have Trey Smith. Pruitt's confident, says absolutely J.J. Peterson will make it here. So those are some pretty good, I guess, updates from Jeremy Pruitt at the beginning of Media Days. Let's catch a break. We'll come back. We'll set up, get ready for Jeremy Pruitt heading to the podium to address the ballroom in Atlanta. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville. You know who you are. You're everything beautiful. Getting set to carry Jeremy Pruitt's availability in the ballroom. Ben Lee, where do we stand right now on the live stream?
Looks like Jeremy Pruitt's about to take the stage. They're doing a little Tennessee promo intro right now.
What's the promo include?
Had Marquez Callaway catching a ball against Georgia Tech.
Okay, nice. And then things from other years?
We had a sack against Georgia at one point.
All right. Hey.
And then a shot at the stadium, and that was pretty much it.
At least they found a sack of Georgia in a 41-0 beatdown. Shout out to that poor poor soul who had to go through Tennessee's season to find highlights. They could have found John Kelly trucking a gator, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
I mean, you could have just showed John Kelly in Gainesville last year. I mean, not dropping the winning touchdown on that little dump down out of the backfield across the middle of the field. Not that one. That one wasn't good, John. But the rest of the game, you were pretty damn good.
Maybe they wanted to have current players that are still on the roster.
Well, who got the sack? Do you know?
I couldn't tell.
That's a key.
The only thing I saw was Fromm standing up and somebody was throwing their arms up and then it cut to the stadium.
Well, that's good. Good point by you, Cody. All right, thanks. So we're plugged in. We're ready to go. Let me know whenever Pruitt starts going.
Looks like he's about to get introduced. I think Greg Sankey is coming up.
Just go ahead and turn it on. Go ahead and turn it on.
Our second coach on day three of the SEC kickoff has been part of five national championship coaching staffs since 2009.
Where we stand on volume? Tweet us in if the volume's good. Is this the loudest we can get it?
It sounds low.
Yeah.
Award finalist and the 2012 National Recruiter of the Year, as determined by 24/7 Sports. My privilege to introduce the new head coach of the Tennessee Vols, Jeremy Pruitt.
For some reason, I anticipated people were going to clap.
I don't think they do that in the media room.
I know. But for some reason, I was anticipating it.
You know, there's a lot of firsts for me. My first SEC meetings and sitting in there for a couple of days, it was real easy to see why this conference is the best conference in the country. You know, sitting around and listening to Greg talk and lead the meetings. Brilliant guy and has a plan for everything. And Greg, I just want to say thank you for that introduction and thank you for having me. Thank you to the media. This is the best conference in the country, and a lot of it has to do with the exposure that you guys get. Everywhere you're at, it don't matter if you're in Knoxville, Tennessee, or you can be in Houston, Texas, or you can be in Cincinnati, Ohio, wherever. The coverage for the SEC is second to none. Thank you for that. For me, when I chose to go to Tennessee, and our staff chose to go to Tennessee, our number one goal is to build a championship program. To do that, it takes commitment and it takes resources. When you talk about commitment, you can look at the Tennessee fan base. I've been all over the state. I've been all over the Southeast. The passion, you can feel it. We're hungry. They're hungry. Everybody's hungry. We're excited to get started. We're excited to get this air started, and can't wait to do it. When you talk about facilities, our facilities there, the plan that's been in place, just in the last 6 months, we have added a practice facility, an extra practice field. We have redone our weight room. And we have also redone the Anderson Center. So when you talk about commitment, you got to have the resources to do it. I think it starts at the top. It starts with our athletic director, Philip Fulmer. A lot of people ask questions, what's it like working with Coach Fulmer? Well, the easiest way to look at it is this. If you told me that I was going to be the head coach at Tennessee and I could choose who the athletic director was going to be, I would choose Coach Fulmer. Coach Fulmer was a player there. He was an assistant coach. He's a championship head coach at Tennessee. So all the things that helped make Tennessee great, he knows what it took to get there. When there was a bump in the road, he probably knows the things that can help steer me away from it. I'm thankful that I have an opportunity of, hey, if I have some questions, because I'm going to tell you something. Whatever you do, I talk about football all the time being a developmental game. It's the same thing, same way for coaches. I'm sure 10 years from now I'll be a better head coach than I will be this fall. So the good part of that for me is if I have any questions, I got a guy that I can walk 30 feet down the hall and lean on him. So I think that he's going to expedite this process to help us get to being a championship program again. To me, if you're going to build that, you got to have a strong staff. When we went to look to build our staff, the first thing that we were looking for was good people. When you're talking about the 10 full-time coaches and myself, eight of us started off as high school football coaches. Well, to me, that's important. If you're going to get in a high school game, you're doing it because you want to have a positive impact on young people. And I know that our guys, that's their first priority. If you're going to be, if you're a high school coach, you got to understand how to be a really good teacher. You got to understand the teaching progression. And I think our guys are fantastic teachers. If you're going to build a championship program, you've got to be able to recruit, obviously, but you got to be able to develop what's on your team. I think a great illustration of who our staff is, if you looked at this past year's NFL draft, there's 32 picks in the first round. There's eight young men that were drafted in the first round that somebody on our staff either recruited, coached, or helped develop in their program over at some point in time. If you're gonna win championships, you got to have guys that are winners, the guys that have been there, that understand it and know what it takes to do that. With 11 guys on our staff, 13 times some member on our staff has been on a national championship staff. To me, that's pretty impressive. To me, the most important thing building this program is graduating our players, graduating our student athletes. Joe Scoggins is head of our academic department. His staff does a fantastic job. They're proactive, they're not reactive. We have 10 seniors on our football team entering this season, but we will have 10 young men that have already graduated. At Christmas, we're going to have 22 men on our roster that have already received their degrees, and that's with only 10 seniors. So that tells you a little bit about Joe and what kind of job that he's doing. If you looked at our roster, there's over 40 degrees representative, so that says a lot about the versatility of the university there. You look at our staff, Tracy Rocker, he won the Outland, he won the Lombardi. Chris Winkie, he won the Heisman Trophy. Terry Fair, he was a first-round pick. There's no staff in the country that illustrates more how important a degree is. As good as those guys were at what they did, someday somebody told them they wasn't good enough. So then they had to lean on the whole reason they went to school, and I think our staff exemplifies that. You know, the power of the T. The T's power. The T represents power. You know, for our guys, the opportunities that exist with the people that are associated with the University of Tennessee once football's over with. I've been to Memphis, Nashville, Chattanooga, Bristol, Knoxville, Atlanta, Georgia, Charlotte, North Carolina, Huntington, West Virginia, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Everywhere I've been, I have seen and felt the power of the T. And I'm honored to have a chance to represent the University of Tennessee, and we're excited to get this season going. There's three young men that we brought today. The first one's Kyle Phillips. He is a senior defensive lineman from Nashville. Kyle has already graduated in sports management. When I got there, Kyle was probably 260 pounds, and he's worked really hard. I think he's between 275 and 280 pounds. He signed at Tennessee to be a 4-3 defensive end. And probably based off the skill set, we've added some weight to him, and the guy has done everything that we've asked him to do. The next young man is Eli Wolf. The first time I met Eli, I was standing in Smokies, and Miss Millie and her crew, they done a fantastic job in Smokies. She's got it ready, rocking and rolling in there every day. But I look over there to my right, and there's Eli, and I ask him, because I'm thinking he might either be a manager or he might be an athletic trainer. I said, what position do you play? He said, Coach, I'm a tight end. I said, really? I said, you can block one of these SEC, you know, guys that's going to play in the Sierra 6 technique or somebody? He said, I don't know about that, Coach, but I can run a 4-5. I said, well, if you're going to play tight end for us, you're going to have to learn to block. Well, I will say this about Eli. He went out there. He's gained 20 pounds since January. He won the most improved player on our offensive side of the ball in the spring. He competed, and he's also a business major. Marquez Callaway. Marquez is right here from Macon, Georgia. He's one of 14 young men from the state of Georgia that are on our football team. Marquez is a communications major. He's a junior. I think he's been a great representative of the university, and we're excited to have him here. Our guys have worked extremely hard since we've arrived in Knoxville. Coach Fitz in the weight room has a plan. Our guys have bought in 100%. All we've had to do is define it for them, and these guys have tried to do everything that we've asked them to do. We're excited about how hard they're working this summer, the direction we're going. Our guys have done a really nice job for us, recruiting for us. I think it says a lot about our football team and the young men there. We've only had two people to leave our program since I've been at Tennessee, and both young men came to me the day that I got the job and said they elected to transfer. Since then, we've not had anybody else. That's very unusual in a coaching change. I think our guys are excited, they're hungry, and can't wait to get the season started. You know, right now for us, there's lots of unknowns. We had 12 young men who did not participate in spring football because some sort of injury. We have 15 newcomers, whether they're a junior college guy or they're a freshman, and we have 3 grad transfers. So there's 30 guys that didn't participate in spring ball. Well, now that we've got everybody here, I'm excited about it because we now have competition. And I think we'll get the best out of everybody in our program, and we're ready to get started. You know, we opened the season with West Virginia, tremendous opponent in Charlotte. I think it's great for our program. We're 3 hours from Charlotte. We have a lot of alumni that live in that area. We recruit the state of North Carolina. I think the same thing is you could be said about West Virginia. We're excited about that. And then, of course, we'll worry about the rest of our season from there on. I know in the SEC there's fantastic coaches, fantastic programs, great players. You know the passion. I've been in the league long enough. A lot of parity. It's very competitive. It's hard to win in this league. Hard to win. You got to do things the right way all the time, and that's our go. So with that, I will take any questions.
All right. Thank you, Coach Pruitt. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll get a microphone to you. We're going to start over here on our right side, here in the middle. Go ahead and stand, please, and give your name and affiliation.
Coach Lucas Panzeca, WDKN Radio in Dixon. The last 10, you talk a lot about Tennessee, bringing them back to the 90s. The last 10 years with the struggles of Tennessee football and the coaching search leading up to your hire, how do you assess the state of the program you're walking into?
Well, the only thing I can assess is the last 6 months. You know, I wasn't at Tennessee the last 10 years. I've been there for 6 months, and right now I'd say that from the top down, from the boosters, the fan base, the players, everybody involved in the program, we're all running in the same direction, and we're running as fast as we can. So I think that's what it takes, and that's all we're worried about.
Coach, we'll go down front left.
Morning, Coach Pruitt. Kerry Clark with Starkville Daily News and Tyler Insider. You probably know more about Anthony Jennings than most any other head coach in the SEC. Tell us a little bit about what you remember from him during the time you coached him as a player and as a person.
You said who now?
Jennings.
Yeah. Anthony Jennings.
Okay, I got you. Hey, guy's smart, he's tough, comes from a good family, very instinctive, and wished he was on our team.
All right, we'll stay down here with Ron in the front row.
Yeah, Ron Higgins, NOLA.com, the Times-Picayune. Jeremy, how do you go about reestablishing, in-state recruiting to the point where it's Tennessee is the top choice of in-state recruits? Because when a program struggles, other schools come in and take players. How do you kind of go back and turn back the other way?
Well, I think it's important in recruiting is the first thing is you got to be organized in a recruiting process. You got to understand what you're looking for at each position. You got to have critical factors that are important to you. It's important, you know, at some positions there's a size or speed criteria, and then you just talk about to me. Probably the most important thing is what kind of character do they have, what kind of effect do they have on their teammates, how do they handle adversity. So I think it's definitely important to recruit our state, but I think when you look at the power of the T, it's a national brand, and you have an opportunity to go anywhere in the country and everybody knows what Tennessee's all about. But whether it's in our state, somebody else's state, I think it's important that we get the right players that fit us.
Coach, we'll go over to the right in the black shirt.
Zach Al-Khatib, Sporting News. Coach, you've been a part of a lot of championship programs, Nick Saban at Alabama, Jimbo Fisher at Florida State. Have you asked them for any advice in your move to Tennessee? And if so, you know, what advice did they give you? And did you take any lessons from them as part of their staffs?
You think Coach Saban's going to give me some advice? You know, one thing that, you know, all of us in the league, we all have known each other probably for a while. Some of us when we were assistant coaches, and now we're, you know, I get an opportunity now. You know, it's probably you better write down everything you can. You better take it all in while you have the opportunity. Because as soon as you go put on the other uniform, I can guarantee everybody, even though everybody's friends, we want to beat the other guy. You know, so we don't want to give the other person an edge.
All right, we'll stay right in front of you near the back. Jean Marie.
Adam Sparks, a Tennessean. Jeremy, historically, Tennessee coaches have controlled the Vanderbilt series. Lately, that's not been the case. Vandy's won 4 out of the last 6. I know it's not the Iron Bowl, but it is an in-state rivalry. What's your thoughts on the importance of controlling that in-state series?
Well, I think there's obviously natural rivalries in this conference. You talk about Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, Georgia, Tennessee, Florida, Tennessee, Alabama. You know, years ago there was Tennessee, Auburn. We actually play all those guys this year. You know, when another team is beating you on a regular basis, it don't seem like the rivalry is that probably thick anymore. So one thing that we got to do is we got to do our part, and I think we will when it comes to that.
Okay, we'll go back here to the right side in the white shirt, around the other side. There you go.
Ben Jones from the Tuscaloosa News. I'm curious what you felt like the greatest source of pressure was for you when you were a college football player, and maybe what the greatest source of pressure is for players now.
The greatest source of pressure? Well, I think a lot of guys, that probably the great ones, they put more pressure on themselves than they receive from anybody else. You know, we had a talk the other day of everybody has fear, you know, so what's your fears? You know, probably Coach Friend was doing the talk. He's talking about his fears were a failure and not providing for his family or something. So there's other guys in the room that kind of talked about it. But I think the pressure comes from within. So I think it motivates a lot of the great ones.
Hey, Coach, we'll go over here to our left, about three-quarters of the way back.
Coach, Mark A. Lewin with the FWAA, you had some strong words for the fan base after the Orange and White game back in the spring. What kind of response and feedback have you gotten since then?
Well, I think the last time I checked, somebody was keeping numbers on how many fans were at the spring game, right? Well, our goal at Tennessee is to be the very best in everything that we do. And we have phenomenal fans, phenomenal. When I tell you everywhere I've been, I mean, I couldn't ask for more information or what they've done to provide for my wife or the families on our staff, the welcoming that we've had in the city of Knoxville, and it's been everywhere that we've been. So I'm excited to have an opportunity to give back to this fan base. My goal is to help put a football team on the field that they can be proud of by the way they play with their toughness, their effort, the way they play together, they play smart, that no matter what's on the scoreboard, when they leave the stadium, they say, you know what, that's our team, okay? That's what I want to be able to give to our fan base.
All right, Coach, we'll go straight in front of me a little bit over halfway back.
Corey Repkin, Daily Times in Maryville. Some of the coaches this week have talked about establishing their culture, you know, in their first season, second season. What are your biggest focal points for that, and what's the process you're going to take to do that? And also, what led to Eli Wolf being the most improved player during the spring?
Well, the first part with Eli Wolf is when we started spring, Eli probably couldn't block me. And by the time the spring was over with, Eli had learned to strain and try to finish and really done a good job. If we can get everybody to compete and play with the effort and toughness and intensity that Eli was playing with maybe the last 7 or 8 practices, we're going to be fine. As far as a culture, to me, it's about expectations. You know, there's a bunch of different ways to do it. I think it's important that everything in the organization is defined. It's clear. Everybody has an understanding. And if somebody's not meeting the expectations, you got to be able to confront them and get it fixed, or they're going to continue to do the same thing.
Okay, Coach, we'll go over to the right. Dwayne.
Yes, Coach. Dwayne Rankin, Montgomery Advertiser. Two-part question. One, now that Brandon Kennedy has arrived, how do you feel about it now? And two, has that caused any kind of rift between you and Coach Saban?
Well, first of all, Brandon, we're excited to have him. He'll be a great part for our offensive line. The guy's smart, you know, obviously graduates, and he still has 2 years of eligibility. He's a really good competitor. Unfortunately, he got hurt there 1 year. So we're excited to have him, and absolutely not. You know, I respect Coach Saban. We're friends. You know, he's been really good to me over the years. I wouldn't be standing here if he hadn't called and offered me a job one day, and I'm very thankful for him for doing that.
Coach, we'll go back over here to our left.
Hey, Coach. Brody Marino, Reddit RCFB here. How much do you expect J.J. Peterson and the rest of your first recruiting class to contribute this year?
Well, we have a couple of guys that are out there that we're still waiting to get information back, and as we gather that information, we'll know when they're going to be there.
Okay, we'll go all the way to the back on the near aisle.
Coach Pruitt, Drew DeArmond, WZZN Radio, Huntsville, Alabama. A two-part question. First, talk about adding Will Friend as your offensive line coach. I know you guys have a pre-existing relationship back to your playing days at Alabama. And then also your father, Dale Pruitt, now at Albertville High School. I know you played for him and coached under him. What is the biggest influences he had on you and in your coaching career and the way you handle your program?
Well, I would say this about my dad to start with. He always saw the good in people. He found a way to get the most out of them. He never gave up on young men. So over the years, you would sit there and there'd be somebody that you didn't think would ever play, and by the time he was a senior, he'd be playing or, you know, or whatever. But he didn't only just do that with his players. He done that with the other students in the school. So I think that was important to me. As far as Will Friend, you know, me and Will played together. We lived together in college. Coached with him. I've coached against him. You know, probably in the last several years, you know, going against him, there's only a few teams that really ran the ball consistently against us, and two of them were teams that he was the O-line coach on. One of them was the 2012 Georgia team, and one of them was last year at Colorado State. So, I think Will does a fantastic job. Again, he's a coach's son. He started off as a high school coach. Very good teacher, motivator, hard-nosed approach, great guy.
Coach, we'll go straight in front of me, halfway back.
Charles Odom with the Associated Press. You mentioned the 12 players who were held out in the spring due to injury. Can you give an update on Trey Smith and what's his clearance level for the fall?
Yeah, our doctor's done a fantastic job of recognizing Trey had a condition in the spring that kept him out of practice. They diagnosed it, treated it. He's going to be back in the fall, and we're excited to have him back. Can't wait to get him back, and I know he's excited about coming back. You know, he keeps talking to me about, man, I missed all these reps in the spring. I said, Trey, I promise you, you'll be fine.
Okay, we'll go over here to our left.
Hey, Coach, House to Home Journal, Warner Robins, Georgia. How important is Marcus Callaway to this coming season?
Well, I think if you're going to be good on offense, you better have guys that are hard to guard on the perimeter. Either they can take the top off or they're big power forward guys. I know that puts pressure on defenses as a defensive coordinator. If they don't have guys that can win outside, it makes it easy to call the game. I think Marquez gives us that element of a guy who can play with speed or he can play with power. And we're excited about seeing what he can do this fall.
Okay, we have time for one or two more. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll go back over here to the left side in the middle. Microphone's on its way.
Hey, Coach. Zach Bingham, A to Z Sports, Nashville. How would you assess your quarterback room with the guys you have and then the addition of Keller Chris?
You know, we have two young men
Jarrett and Will that were there in the spring. So they're going to have 15 practices under their belt. We add Keller Christ, who is coming from Stanford, who's played some football there, has experience, and we're adding a young man out of California, JT Shrout. We're going to give all four of those guys opportunities in fall camp. I think for us, you know, seeing what these other two new guys can do along with what the guys see how they progress in fall camp. I think it's going to be important for us as a staff to start whittling it down pretty fast so we can kind of create some rhythm and timing and a little bit of chemistry on offense and figure out who our guys are going to be.
Okay, we'll go over here on the left on the aisle. Chip.
Morning, Jeremy. Chip Towers, Cox Media Group. I just wondered, how would you characterize your time in Athens and your relationship with Mark Richt, and whether how that relationship is today, and how it might have affected helping you become a head coach eventually?
Yeah, well, you know, I've been very, very fortunate to work for some really good coaches. I mean, I worked for my dad, worked for some great guys in high school, worked with guys who are now head coaches. But, you know, working with Coach Saban, Coach Rick, Jimbo, it's been there's a lot of lessons that I've learned. You know, you talk about Coach Saban. You know, I could sit here and write a book because I worked with him the longest. I worked for him for 8 years. You know, he was everything in Coach Saban's program is defined. He's relentless. Nobody works harder than he does. He's a great coach, great teacher. You know, Jimbo, I talked to Jimbo last night on the phone. Jimbo, kind of from the same tree, hard nose, competitor, great evaluator. You know, his teams play great. Coach Rick, you know, it's very interesting when you look at Coach Rick's background was probably through Coach Bowden, and you know, you got the Saban deal. I think I'm probably one of the few guys that's had an opportunity to work in both kind of family trees there. You know, Coach Rick, you know, the things that he taught you, you know, one thing that probably the biggest thing to me is there's more to life than football. I know that sounds, but there is. And you know, and one of these days that they ain't gonna care how many championships you win and all that. So I'm very thankful for the opportunity. My time in Athens, I loved it, built a lot of great relationships. So, and now obviously we play them the fourth week and Kirby's there, and I'm sure I wanna beat him, he'll wanna beat me, so.
All right, we'll take one final question over midway on the right.
Coach, Lucas Panzeca again, WDKN Radio. At the running back position, you guys returned Tim Jordan and Ty Chandler, and Madre London coming in from Michigan State. Do you expect to see a running back by committee approach to that position this fall?
Well, I think if you're going to be good at running the football in this league, you better probably have 4 to 6 guys. It's a physical game. You know, when you turn around and hand the ball, there's 11 guys on the other side who are usually big and fast and angry trying to hit you. So there's lots of contact. I think you probably need four to six guys. You know, Ty and Tim both were there this spring. We actually had Trey Coleman, and we moved Princeton Fant from tight end to running back just to give us four. We've brought in Jeremy Banks, and Madre London's a grad transfer. So it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out with these guys. I know they're working hard, but I think we'll probably need all of them before the year's over with.
All right. Thank you, Coach Pruitt, for your time.
Somebody asked about an hour.
Back on the program. All right, Cody, what'd you think? What was your instant reaction to Jeremy Pruitt's presser? I'll also open the phone lines to the people. That's the McKinney team hotline. 865-546-8200 if you guys have any thoughts.
It was neutral. It was boring. It was to the point. He sold the program, and he didn't do much else. That was it.
I found myself kind of checking out a little bit into it. I hope the audience enjoyed it. I don't like playing press conferences for that reason. Like, we didn't get anything. There was a couple of nice nuggets, I guess, about Eli Wolf not being able to block. Like, hey, you really sucked when I got here. Now you can block. Now you might actually get to play some SEC tight end at some point.
But he didn't say anything dumb.
He did not say anything dumb.
Wouldn't you rather I guess you'd rather have a guy who at least is kind of just boring than making negative headlines, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Yesterday we talked about just having a coach willing to just go out and say whatever.
Well, yeah, I like that. But if it's going to end up being a negative thing.
If it's going to be negative, but he does it in a fun way, I don't know if I would prefer. I don't know which I would prefer. Like, Butch Jones was bad because he was boring and negative. Right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You got the negative feedback. You got the negative reaction.
He's just so angry.
As you were still bored to tears in his robotic coach speak. I'd be okay if a coach came out with flair and had some gusto and made a couple negative headlines. I think I'd probably prefer that. But sure, Pruitt going up, sounding professional, sounding businesslike, sounding like a guy ready to lead a program. I hate using the term sounds like a football coach, so I'm not using that one. He sounds like he's ready for the job. He sounds like he's ready to lead a program, especially as someone who didn't really address the media too often at his last stops as a coordinator.
Not a lot of the things that he said really stood out. I like the part about how no players have left since the two that left on day one, and they came to him basically and said that they were leaving. They didn't even know what he was selling yet. They were planning to leave.
Yeah.
The only thing I can access is the last 6 months. I was not here the last 10 years. And then the part about Nick Saban, where he asked the guy, he said, "You think Saban's going to give me some advice?" Basically now, like, I'm in Orange now. There's no way that's going to happen now. He said, "You better take it in when you're there, because once you put on the other uniform, you don't want to give the other guy an edge."
Sure. Apparently, Paul Feinbaum singing Pruitt's praises right now, saying Jeremy Pruitt killed it. Killed it.
Yeah. I don't know if he killed it. He sold the program. I mean, that's what he did. He went up there and
the power of the T.
Yeah. He did a good job at that, I thought. But, you know, it wasn't overly – he didn't say anything exciting or negative. So, pretty neutral, I guess.
The power of the T. He kind of stumbled as he was going through that spiel, but I think it made a lot of sense, and I think it sounded good.
Asked about changing the culture. He said everything has to be clear and defined so people can understand it. I like that. That seemed like not a shot at Butch, but at least that wasn't really how things were when he got here. He wants to make sure everything's clear and right there so you can see it.
865-546-8200. That's the phone line that's the number for the McKinney Team Hotline. The McKinney Team with Keller Williams defines success with one measurement: client satisfaction. If you don't come out of their transaction feeling like you had a positive experience, that means they haven't done their job. The Knoxville housing market's on fire. It's hot.
Somebody better put it out.
If you are in the market, if you are wanting to buy or sell your home, you're going to need a team of professionals. Trust our friends, the McKinney Team with Keller Williams. You can visit ZillowKnoxville.com to browse their listings and learn more about our wonderful area and get familiar with Travis and Emily. All right, let's grab Troy. Troy joins us on the McKinney Team Hotline. What's up, Troy?
Hey, guys. For one, I want to know I'm pissed at both of you. I'm actually following UT more this offseason than I have been Ohio State. I completely put the blame directly on you.
I'm sorry.
Secondly.
Or you're welcome. I mean, Ohio State's been better, sure, but I'd say we've been more fun.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know what's going to happen this year with Ohio State. They're going to win all but maybe one game. They'll fight to get in the playoff. It's going to be the same thing again with
UT.
Must
be nice.
It's crazy because they could go all over the place. It's. But I just wanted to call in. You know, I actually listened to that. I wasn't going to because they're so freaking boring. But I will tell you, I was hoping to either hear a breaking news horn or somebody say stupid idiot. Neither happened. But the guy didn't make a fool of himself. I mean, you know, you were talking about being boring. I think that's the best thing that could have happened today was because he came across as much more of a professional than I expected. I mean, the guy one of you said, not having to deal with doing these things when you're a DC versus a head coach. And, he avoided the questions he didn't want to answer very smoothly. I thought he did a a masterful job for the first time I've actually ever listened to a guy talk.
How about that? Troy singing praises of Jeremy Pruitt. How about that? Didn't see that coming.
Well, I've never been negative on him.
I know.
I'm kind of a wait and see.
I know. You're coming out positive. You've been much more reserved, wait and see, and now you are getting you're saying that Pruitt's won you over a little bit, not to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, he did today because, like I said, he could have came out and just looked like a dumb redneck, or he could have said something stupid, or he could have been boastful about how great he was at these other places. But I mean, he was just he did exactly what you want a professional head coach to do.
Troy, appreciate
that was to represent you and not embarrass you.
Troy, appreciate the phone call. I'm gonna try to squeeze one more in before the top of the hour. Let's go back to the McKinney team hotline. Let's grab GQF. GQF, you got about 2.5 minutes, brother.
Hey, man, I'll tell you one thing. After listening to Butchie Boy for the last how many years?
Too many years.
Too damn many years. That guy was the most interesting man in the world.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, GQF. I wouldn't go that far. Now, granted, like I get what you're saying, compare and contrasting, but he's still not interesting.
I think he's going to put a foot up those guys' butt, and I think we're going to be better than people think this year, because he's got all those table scraps from Butchie Boy, and I think he's going to be able to coach them up.
I hope so.
And really, they're not all table scraps. We've got some good. I'll tell you one. Is TK Jr. I look for some big things from that guy this year, don't you?
If he can stay healthy, I think he'll be a good, calming factor in the secondary. I don't know if he'll be able to keep Nigel Warrior off the field or to still be a starter. But I do think it'll be nice to have him on the field and in the locker room.
Well, we definitely want Nigel Warrior on the field as
right.
a starter.
Right.
I don't see why we can't have them both in the backfield.
Yeah. No, I mean you can, but they had was it Abernathy they had last year back there at safety at times. Both those guys are talented. I think TK. I mean, I'd like to see. Some people have said they want to see him at the linebacker position a little bit. See what he can do there. I don't know. It'd be nice to have a veteran on the field. GQF. You got anything else for me? I'm up against the hour break.
No, go ahead, buddy.
Appreciate the phone call. Was that dumb?
What?
I mean, do we think Todd Kelly's just going to be penciled in as a starter when he gets back on the field healthy?
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll be a starter. He's been playing for
years. He kind of lost his spot last year, though, right? I mean, wasn't that a part of the thing?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to play, though.
Well, I know, but I'm just talking about as a starter.
As a starter?
I mean, I feel like he kind of lost the spot last year. I don't know.
He's
something
been around forever, though.
I don't know if that's that's not always a good thing. Up against the hour break. Stick with us. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Let's talk sports on Fox Sports Knoxville.